Thanks, Greg.
It is a good day when you can come anywhere and share the gospel. So I am excited to be here. I'm typically in the back, the peanut gallery back there, and so I attend and I'm fed by this gathering. And so when Brad brought it up and said, you know, would you be interested in substituting for me? I said, sure. But sometimes you feel unworthy. And when I look at Brad, his depth of knowledge, his experience is astounding. And I love the way he can bring Scripture to life. And that feeds me when I come here. And so I consider it an honor to be able to give something back. I don't have his experience. I don't have his wisdom and knowledge. But hopefully you'll take away a little something from this. I have been, as Greg mentioned, heavily involved with Bible Study Fellowship for some time. And then there's seasons of preparation for the next ministry. And so Bible Study Fellowship prepared me for another season and another season. And so I found myself looking at ministry. What does this mean to me? Where's my role in this? And so some time ago, I decided to embark upon, the United Methodist Church has a program called a Licensed Local Pastor. And it gives you the credentials without having to go to seminary. And with the state of some seminaries today, that may be a good thing. So when I talked with Brad, and he said, would you do February the 9th? And I said, okay, well, we were doing Hebrews 10. Do you want me to go to the next? And he said, no, I want you to do what's on your heart. He gave me a clean slate. And it took me about 30 seconds to know where this was going. Because as I look around the world today, and I watch the news, I listen to what's happening in the culture. I hear evil being called good and good being called evil. We got to be about the business of sharing the gospel. I do not know, and I'm not going to go into the prophecy. That's not why I'm here. But we're a lot closer to his return today than we were yesterday. Now, whether that is 30 days or 30 years is anybody's guess. But there are people that don't know the love of Christ. And somebody's got to tell them. So, that's why I'm here. And some of you may groan at this, but we're going back into Matthew. Back into Matthew. We Brad spent a lot of time in Matthew, and then New Year we skipped on, but I want to go back to Matthew. But before we jump into that, would you indulge me for just a moment to say a prayer? And this prayer is for me. Y'all can benefit from it, but this is for me because when I begin to teach or preach, I need to step out of the way. And so that's what this for me is that departure, this prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for us being able to gather today and your name be lifted up and glorified. I ask that you allow me to step out of the way, that you, through the Holy Spirit, will speak through me. May those here assembled hear what you have to say to them. Use my ramblings for some good. And in the end, we'll give you all glory, honor, and praise. Amen. So, Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Many of you are familiar with it. It's generally called the Great Commission. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This passage comes about at the end of Matthew. We have seen Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. We've seen him betrayed. He's seen him paraded through courts, crucified, and resurrected. These are the last words in the book of Matthew. If these are departing instructions, I'd say they're important. But they are not the only ones that call us to this. Matthew 16, 15 and 16. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned." And then from Acts 1:8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." In each of these passages, believers, that's us, are called to go and take the good news to the world, to the lost, the brokenhearted, and the unlovable. As we dial it back to Matthew, and we look a little bit closer at this passage, first thing I want to point out is it says, "But some doubted." Verse 17, "some doubted." And I've read some commentary on that, and the term wasn't so much in that they disbelieved, but it was a matter of understanding. They might not have understood what was happening, but it wasn't about disbelief. Now, this commission includes more than just telling people about Jesus. And I think that's sometimes where we stop. We look at this as we just got to go tell Jesus. Tell people about Jesus. And I found this study opened my eyes to the depth of what we are called to do. See, becoming a Christian is one thing. Being a Christian is another. There is more to it than just an introduction. "Jim, this is Jesus. Jesus is Jim. Okay, good. I'm done." No, there's a lot more to it. And we as a church are called to do both. Not just make an introduction, but to develop a relationship. Are you with me there? All right. I heard this referred to as the two L's. Lips and lifestyle. We got to declare it with our mouth and live it in our lifestyle. Because our lifestyle will erode anything we say that isn't consistent. I can proclaim anything. It's like telling my kids to clean up their room and they look at my garage. Are we living the lifestyle? Are we any different from everybody else in the culture? Too often? No. We're just like everybody else. When the lifestyle doesn't match the lip service, it rings hollow and has no authenticity. We got to change that. That's where these relationships come in. Do you have somebody who will hold you accountable? Do you have somebody who will ask you, when's the last time you dated your wife? When's the last time you were in church? Not pajama church, as we heard last week, but the church where you're there and you feel a connection. You feel it here. There's a connectedness. That's different. So as we look at this, go and make disciples. What does that involve? Baptizing them. That's the introduction. Introducing them to Christ. A lot of people would stop there and consider that fire insurance. I'm good. I'm in. I'm on the team. But there's a lot more to it when you follow it. Teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. There is a lot more to it. And you start thinking, well, how can I do all that? You don't have to do all that. Some of you are really good at evangelism. You want to tell Jesus. Others are amazing at making disciples. We are not in this alone. Amen, Holy Spirit, take this. Baptizing them gets them on the team. Teaching them turns them into valuable players. You can be on the sidelines, you can wear a jersey, whatever flavor you support. But it's different when you're on the field. But you've got to put in the work to be there. Now, another thing that we also tend to neglect is, and surely I am with you always to the end of the age. That is the Lord God Almighty. He just stated, all authority in heaven and earth. The devil tempted him with earthly kingdoms. He honored his father, went to the cross, was resurrected, and he's got both, heaven and earth. It's his power, not mine. It is by his power we are saved, not mine. And this is reminded in Acts 1:8 that the Holy Spirit is our guide. I know, like all of you, we love to come here on Thursday and we learn about the Bible and we see it opened up. But are we called to be Bible scholars? No. We are called to make disciples. So if all we do is to come here and get better educated about the Bible, we're missing the mark. What are we doing the other 6 days? Are you? We're called to reach out to the lost, the hungry, the unlovable. Sometimes that's hard. It's like, I'm going to go share with these people that look like me, they sound like me, I'm comfortable. But we are called all nations, all people. Even the ones we don't like. It's called the Great Commission. In some cases, it's the Great Omission, or maybe even just a great suggestion. But if you read it, it's very clear. Go and make disciples. There's not much room for interpretation. So why are we having trouble getting in the game? sitting on the sidelines watching. And more often than not, it's going to be a comment. You know, that minister really ought to. That's the first mistake, because the church is full of ministers, and only a handful of them are going to be ordained. We are the church. It's easy to say that's the staff's problem. They got to go visit the sick. They got to feed the hungry. I just show up on Sunday and put something in the plate. That's a cultural Christian. We need disciples. There are lots of excuses. But think about it. You make a difference. Take a moment and think about who introduced Jesus Christ to you. Just think, who was it that, maybe it was a gradual step, maybe it was a grand one. Somebody introduced you to Christ. Somebody come to mind. Maybe it was a Billy Graham stadium evangelistic event, and it was great. Maybe it was a grandmother or a friend or a Bible school teacher who planted a seed. That seed from middle school, high school, may have laid dormant for years. When we went to college and did our own thing, I want to have fun before I get serious about faith. Are you planting seeds? Your role may be a farmer, that you go around planting seeds. Let me tell you about Jesus. Maybe you're the one that comes behind and waters that seed. Maybe you're the one that comes behind and offers a little fertilizer for that seed. The person who planted may never know this side of heaven what a difference it made. But that is no excuse not to do it. Some of the common excuses that we use: I'm not spiritual enough, or I don't know the Bible well enough. Well, once again, we're not in control. The Holy Spirit, if you'll let Him, will guide you, give you the words. It's not your role to save anybody. You have a testimony. And I know enough of you in here to know there's some good testimonies in here. I once was this, and now I'm this. And Jesus Christ is what did the change. You don't need a degree in theology to tell that story. It's not about you and your story, but it shows what Christ can do. If you want to share Jesus with people, seek out some training. Maybe your local church offers an opportunity. I know Greg mentioned my daughter, Carlin. She's a sophomore at Clemson. And she went to Daytona Beach, Florida on a mission trip this past summer. And she went with an organization called CRU, C-R-U. It was formerly known as Campus Crusade for Christ. And she went down and spent 3 weeks. And I was astounded at the training. They just didn't show up and say, "Hey, let's talk about Jesus. How you doing, Doug? Let me tell you about Jesus. Are you saved? Have you been saved?" The culture's looking at you like, "Have you lost your mind? What are you talking about?" But the training she got changed her perspective. It gave her the tools and the confidence. It gave her a chance to have her testimony. What is her testimony? Have you ever thought about that? If somebody sat down with you and say, tell me about your journey, could you do it? There is training available to help people share. There are some people who would be terrified to stand up here and say anything. That's okay. There's a place for you. Some of us don't mind. A minister that surrendered a mic to me, I'm going to talk about Jesus. Some people use the excuse that I have to wait till I get my life straightened out. Wait till I got my problem solved. Okay? I want to see a show of hands. Does anybody have their life figured out, problem solved? No. One. Thanks. Appreciate it. We need to talk. Being a Christian will not give us a get out of pain, get out of problems, get out of debt free card. Actually, the Bible says otherwise. You will be persecuted. You will suffer. But the reward is worth it. Worth it all. Maybe you're anxious or you're nervous. What do I say? Well, think about it. Do you have a problem sharing stories about your grandkids? Are you going to pull out your phone and show one of 450 pictures in the last 30 days? You have no problem talking about your golf game, your dogs. It's Jesus that makes us uncomfortable. What are they going to think? Now they think I'm a Jesus freak? If the shoe fits. Is that a bad thing? To proclaim Jesus before others? So there are some real bad consequences for denying Him. Get comfortable. And it doesn't have to be. We need to be loving and winsome in the way we share. Because we'll be different when we share Jesus in that way. It's ask them, how can I pray for you? You'd be surprised at how people then respond, because it's not like, do you believe? They'll offer things up about their life. You don't have to go down to the boulevard and just meet random people. There are people you play golf with, bridge with, go to the club with, whatever puts people in proximity to you. There are opportunities there just to share, just to ask, just a little bit at a time. You don't have to win them today. Just start the conversation. This goes back to some of my C-12 experience in business. The world would have you believe that we don't talk about Jesus in the workplace. It's not true. It is not true. There are opportunities, especially for business owners. You can set the tone. You can make it a safe place to have those conversations. You cannot make it mandatory. You cannot make it conditional on your advancement is dependent upon this. No, that's asking for trouble. But you can offer a Bible study. Whoever wants to come, come. What difference would it make if you did business with a company that did what they said they would do? They showed up when they said they were going to show up, did what they were supposed to do, How's that for setting a high bar? If you're uncomfortable, practice with somebody, a friend, a family member. Just practice it. I know I've been to conferences. I've been to all kinds of training. And the first time they say, let's do some role play. Oh, no. I hate this. But every single time I walk away, better at what I came in. I hate it, but it works. Do that with a friend. How would you share? Maybe we're satisfied being saved and not motivated enough to worry about anybody else. I got mine. But that's not what we're called to do. We got to get outside our comfort zone. We got to make a difference in our community, in the world. What if I were to tell you, inside this envelope is the cure to cancer? All of them. This is the cure to cancer. How hateful to somebody who has cancer would it be for me to put it away? Ladies and gentlemen, we have the keys to eternal life. Not in the envelope, but in the book. How much must you hate somebody to refuse to share what you believe? I don't want to be bothered by you to tell you about Jesus Christ. It's okay for you to go to hell. I find that unacceptable. I would love to think that I could look out across this group and say with certainty, everybody in this room has a personal relationship with Jesus. But odds are that's not true. So I can't finish this message without going back to what we've been called to do. Some of you may be familiar with it. It's called the Roman Road. And it starts with Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. All have sinned, and the wages for sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:5-8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He went to a cross for me. The rest of you can be perfect. He went to a cross for me. And to cap it off, Romans 10:9-10. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Thank you, Jesus. If there's anybody who doesn't know this, doesn't understand this, does not have that relationship, come see me, come see Greg. There's a lot of people. But don't just walk away and say, see you next week. What if next week never comes? thank you for entertaining me, allowing me to share what has been a burden on my heart, that we got to be the church and we got to get about our business, no matter what the culture calls us, what the world says about us. We are called by Christ to make disciples. Amen. Let us pray. Abba, Father, we ask that you give us the courage and the boldness to share the good news with a world that is hurting and needs it. Help us to overcome our excuses and go about making disciples wherever, whenever, however. Give us divine appointments where we can share the hope and love that is only found in you. Fill us with your Spirit so we might plant the seeds that you will nourish in due time. In precious name we pray. Amen. See you next week.